And we're back.
Okay. Here's what's happening. I've pushed the button and started the timer for episode 300.
Oh my goodness.
Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Can you believe
that? Oh, yes.
Can you believe it?
300.
Now, here's the thing. I was thinking.
How many years has it been?
It's been a long time. We've been
like
doing
10
this.
10 years.
Since 2019.
Hello.
It's been 6 years.
However many years that is.
How long have we been doing?
Since 2019.
Are you for real?
Uninterrupted weekly content.
Are you serious?
Uninterrupted.
Content, baby, content.
Every week. Even that week that there was an airplane. I was on an airplane that got evacuated because of a bomb scare in Alaska. And then
I don't remember.
And
that.
Then our podcast was delayed by one day.
Or you were out in the desert somewhere.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Anyway, episode 300.
You sure about that?
We wanted to do something special, right? As we've done for our other on the hundreds episodes, we always try to do something a little bit special.
There were two others.
Sure did.
Yeah. The next episode in the feed will indeed be episode 301, our discussion of Strange New Worlds, something or other.
Yeah. Josh, are you sure?
But this week, we are celebrating 300 episodes, and I was thinking about it. I was like, we've got this great backlog of content, which is excellent when you're perusing podcasts. You're like, oh, they've got a lot of podcasts. They must know what they're doing. By the way, that's not necessarily true. But I can understand that failure of logic leading one to think, oh, there's a lot of episodes. I want to listen to that podcast. However, the flip side of that is that people can be intimidated by so many podcasts. They can think, what am I going to do starting in with this podcast?
Maybe the last like 150.
I'll miss all the lore. I won't know all the in-jokes, etc. So I thought what we need for our podcast is...
I don't know.
We need the It's Got Star Trek technical manual.
What?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What?
Similar to...
Patrick smells like pee.
Okay, so just to explain to the audience Jesse's saying there. Is we have a shared Google Doc open. It's the first time we've done a shared Google Doc.
Yeah, well, I just don't know what to do.
It may be the last time. Because I shared this Google Doc so we can have this shared outline for this special 300th episode, and Dan promptly started adding little Easter eggs in it, including, in parentheses,
Will on me.
Patrick smells like pee.
Well, the Will on me do that.
Yeah.
It's Sneezy Night over here.
Sneezy Jesse. Oh, Jesse, hold off on the sneezing, because we have a whole segment about what our regular segments are, and one of them is Jesse's sneezing.
It's a preview.
All right.
Wow, you're giving away the whole plot here, Jesse.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, this has been the, what do we call it, opening teaser? What do you call it,
crazy.
Dan? Do you call it teaser?
Patrick smells like pee.
It's a cold open.
Cold open, okay. This is the cold open to the It's Got Star Trek technical manual.
A teaser is when you, like, are about to go to break, and you're like, hey, I got a question about this thing, and the other guy's like, what's that? And you're like, I'll tell you in a minute. And
that's
then you
a
go
cliffhanger.
To, then you go to a break, and
a teaser is like a subheading, Jesus fucking Christ. No, he's going, no, just go ahead and do it. It's okay, Jesse. It's okay. I didn't mean to stop you mid-sneeze.
I think you stopped it. Okay. I don't think I have to sneeze.
Did I cast a spell
on you? A teaser would be like, man, something funny happened on the way to work today. I'll tell you after this break. That's a teaser.
All right.
I think.
Okay. Well, this teaser or cold open,
just
whatever.
A crazy idea.
Whatever is now concluded.
Don't you work from home, though?
Because we're going to.
Don't you mind your own business?
We're going to. I'm sorry. We have to play the theme music.
What does that have to do with anything?
We have to play the theme music.
You don't drive to work.
So people understand that the show has started. Because we did a cold open.
Cold open.
Okay. Theme right. Music now.
Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Oh.
it.
Yes.
It's been a little while since I've actually heard that.
The extended version.
Yeah, yeah, with the middle part.
I really like that.
Technically, it's not the extended version. It's the original version. Yeah. It caused a bunch of consternation between Dan and
I. Right, yeah. I remember that.
Because as you heard, it's brilliant, but I was like, you can't have a minute-long podcast intro.
We won't get back into that, though.
No, we won't.
But
I remember that.
You can think of it like TV shows will play like the full version of the opening, yeah, and then like as the season goes on, they'll play like the abridged version.
Or in successive seasons.
Well, we got to make room for all the ads, Dan.
All the ads. All the ads.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to episode 300 of It's Got Star Trek.
Sabotage.
This is the It's Got Star Trek technical manual, and we're going to be going over a bunch of things about the podcast. To help introduce a new listener, somebody who's interested in what this podcast is all about. They can learn everything they need to know. Or if you're a longtime listener, you might learn a few bonus behind the scenes facts, or you might just delight in hearing things you haven't heard in a little while.
The list gets weirder as it goes on.
Indeed. And I thought, let's start with a brief round of host facts.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
At the beginning of each break, we'll have a few little host facts just so you can get to know your hosts better. I'm Patrick, by the way.
I'm Jesse.
That's Jesse. And who are you?
My name is Dan.
No, you got to say, that's Dan.
Wait, no. Okay. Hi, Ms. Patrick. That's Jesse. And that's Dan.
That's me.
Oh, gross.
Oh.
Gross. That really grossed me.
That's me.
I know. I thought you were going some other way.
You can't see it if you're listening, but like he stuck his finger up in the air. Yeah. It's really weird.
Jesse and I are both revolted.
It was really weird.
Don't you remember? That was from...
I just ate a bunch of food, dude.
Well, thanks. Thanks for your life story. Don't you remember that? Maybe I didn't do a good job. That scene is from a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles the movie. Remember?
Which part?
The part where
regular, like, or menthol?
Not that part. The part where Splinter's introducing the Toitles to April.
Toitles?
And then she's like, Splinter goes, Michelangelo.
Okay.
And Michelangelo goes, that's me.
Okay.
That?
Yes. Now I remember.
I was imitating Splinter.
I was. I do remember that now.
Yes. Well, okay. But I did kind of make it sound gross.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay.
I'm sorry. I got this on my head now. I just real quick. Like, does anyone remember the show Mr. Belvedere?
Of course. Yeah.
So,
that British guy who molested those kids.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
That guy. We're speaking of like abridged openings. Like, you know that song? It's by like Leon Redbone or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's all like,
you don't care
when you drop Cracker Jacker as you came through the door.
That was that guy that like nobody knew how old he was, and then he just up and died one day.
And then the next part goes like, according to our new arrival, but there's a part in between that they play in the extended version because they go, rapper labor in the door, no one cares. And then the next part where that they never play is it goes like,
that was like just the first episode.
I'm remembering it in my head. Your rendition's not helping, but I do remember what you're talking about, the extended version. I didn't mean that as an insult.
You should go.
Clearly came across that way.
Oh, it goes, cater day for the door, no one cares. According to a new arrival. See, and that's the part they cut out, that middle part.
And you get to see all the things that Mr. Belvedere did, like he climbed like fucking Mount Everest or something.
Right, yeah.
He was an accomplished fella.
Weird.
Would I stay?
It was weird. Okay, so...
Sorry, that had nothing to do with much.
But you know what? It accomplishes what we're trying to do with this host facts section, which is to let these listeners know more about us. And now I think...
I think they know a little.
They know a little bit more about Dan.
Like a whole lot more questions. Yeah.
Okay, so for this first round of host facts, just again, to learn some limited and curated facts about your three hosts here, I thought we'd go through really quickly, and I just want your quick answer about these particular questions. So, first question, Heathcliff or Garfield?
Garfield.
Jesse?
Actually, that's a tricky question.
It's hard. I'm going to lean towards Heathcliff.
You know what? I know you said answer it quick, but like my impulse was to say Garfield, but at the same time, like,
you feel like a bit of a poser saying Garfield.
It's just like Garfield is
Heathcliff was like an alley cat.
Heathcliff
was,
he had a game.
Yeah, he did. And he had a cool song too. Yeah. It was like Heathcliff, no.
And then there was that other show with the other
cat. Yeah, there was another show with the cat, other cat. There was another cat.
Oh, wait a minute.
There was
that wasn't part of this question.
Yeah, but that was a different cat. There was another cat show where they lived in a junkyard. But okay, but like, but like Garfield, like, you know,
what was it called?
Garfield gets so generic, and then so many of the comics like kind of suck.
Yeah.
But like Garfield was such a huge part of my life at the same time. Like I had like every Garfield book.
I had
that Garfield Nine Lives book. Did you ever read that one?
Yeah.
That was
like
fucking crazy.
Yeah. What I'll say for my part is
it's hard. It's difficult.
It's a hard one.
I'd want to say Heathcliff.
I'm leaning towards Heathcliff.
But if I'm being honest about my reality, I'm more of a Garfield.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with
Beavis or Butthead?
Butthead.
Beavis. Beavis.
I think I'm probably a Beavis as well. Tony or Tony?
Tony.
I thought it was Tone.
Yeah, no, it's Tony.
It's Tony.
I'm going to go with Tony.
I thought it was Tone.
No, there's an accent. Accent on the end. Tony or Tony. I'm a Tony. Jesse said he's a Tony. Dan, are you a... You're a Tony?
I remember once in elementary school saying Tony, and some kid made fun of me, and he was like, everyone knows it's Tony.
Yeah. I think that kid was trolling you.
Why couldn't he have just been dumb?
See, that's not right.
I mean, he could have been dumb, too.
Or maybe just incorrect. Why couldn't he have just been incorrect?
He could have been incorrect.
Why is the assumption that he was, that I was being
There's
trolled?
No way that that's no Tone, no. Because it has an accent on it.
It was one of three possibilities.
No, well, the assumption you immediately went to is not that he was wrong, it's that I was punked. Which makes it, you were saying, like, Dan's...
I think he was a punk.
What Patrick is implying is that I'm... like very susceptible to being punked.
That was an
indirect diss
you
on
said
me.
You were a child.
I don't think he
you
would
had
ever
a
say
child's
that.
Mind no. at the time.
But like, so did he.
Yes, and children can be quite
see,
cruel.
See, that was the
no,
problem.
But, no, but
creative and
but
cruel.
No, but don't you understand the difference I'm making here? If you say the kid is wrong, that means he's at fault. If you say that he was trolling me, that means that I fucked up.
Yeah.
And you're so you instead
you're right,
of,
it does mean that.
Yeah, so instead of saying that he fucked up, you're saying I fucked up by allowing myself to
of
be
the
fooled.
Three possibilities, I will admit, fairly or unfairly, I gravitated toward the one that made you look foolish.
Right, exactly. Oh.
It's probably not nice of me to do that.
I think that represents some amount of insecurity on your part.
Perhaps it's on my part. Yeah,
because you want to put yourself at a level higher than me.
It could be. That's why I've this chair I'm sitting in right now is just like 3 inches higher than everybody else's chair.
We're sitting on benches.
How long does this go on for? Jesus fucking Christ. Kirk or Picard?
Kirk or Picard. I want Picard.
I say Picard.
If there's no Tone, then I'm gonna go with Tony.
Okay. So Tony, and then
wait, you're going with Tony?
Yeah.
I would have thought you said
Tony.
You would have said Tony.
I thought he was going to be a Tony, too.
I thought he was going to be Tony.
No.
No, I get it.
Why
get
does
it.
Everyone always assume
you
that?
You said Tony, and I said Tony. Yeah. I thought you... I knew he was going to say
no,
Tony.
No, but he did... Yeah, because he said he would have said Tone, which just, means Tony, because it's got an accent on the end of it. So we know it's the third one.
Sabotage.
Indeed. Kirk or Picard.
Sabotage.
What say you all?
Picard.
Jesse Picard?
Yes.
Dan. I mean, like, I would love to be like, actually, I'm going to go with Kirk. But really, I have to go with Picard.
I know, right?
Kirk's pretty great. I mean, it's not a choice. I'm a Cisco person, but...
Word.
I'll probably go ahead and
say... That wasn't one of the answers.
I know. So I'm going to say... It's really tough for me because I really like both Kirk and Picard.
Picard.
I'll probably lean towards Kirk...
Sabotage.
Just for some of the character stuff, I like some of his character development is more interesting to me than some of the Picard characters.
Sabotage.
Picard's a fascinating captain, though. So.
I mean, character stuff, you mean like character development or just
like Picard being an ex-Borg is cool and learning to play the flute is cool. Some of the other stuff is, Kirk has more of an arc.
Kirk's son dies.
He goes to prison.
I don't know if Picard played the flute. It was more like a tin whistle.
Kirk's arc is all in the movies.
I really like the movies. Those OG TOS movies.
Wasn't Picard's instrument more of like a whistle?
It's like a tin whistle.
Tin whistle, yeah. Something like that.
So it's one of them. Funny flutes.
Coffee or tea?
tea?
This is a difficult question because here's the thing. I'm not a big fan of hot beverages in general.
Oh, that's right. Dan's in a hot...
You're a soda man.
We can count iced coffee, iced tea.
Okay, because what I was going to say is
I like an iced coffee.
Like, if forced to drink a hot beverage, I would drink coffee before I drink hot tea. It's rare that I ever even want to think about hot tea.
Yeah.
Sometimes I might enjoy a nice chamomile before bed, but beyond that, never.
I'm an Earl Grey gal all the way.
Sabotage.
I like the Earl Grey. I like the bergamot and the Earl Grey.
No sabotage.
I like a hot tea. I like an iced tea. I like an iced coffee.
So what I was going to say is the only time I ever drink coffee is if I'm going on a road trip or if I'm at an office doing office work, which
it is good on a road
trip. Which I'm rarely there.
I drink more tea than coffee, but I like coffee.
So I'm giving my explanation here.
We're giving ours.
Yeah, I know. We can do it in
the mistake we made, Jesse, was inserting it in between.
The thing about talking is you want to do it in series, not in parallel. You don't want to talk in parallel.
It's one of those kinda,
I can't disagree with
you. It's modern.
Okay. So I only drink coffee when I'm on a road trip or at some kind of office doing some office function, which is not often. Hot tea almost never. But if we're talking about cold drinks, I would drink iced tea unsweetened before I would drink hot coffee. See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so it goes like I drink iced tea most, hot coffee next, and hot tea last.
All right.
Okay.
And I actually know
what about iced coffee?
Iced coffee's in there too.
Iced coffee's good.
Iced coffee is in there, but iced coffee is more like a special occasion for me. I would drink iced tea like just whenever.
Yeah. I like sweet tea. I like Earl Grey hot tea. I drink every day. I'm drinking tea. I started getting decaf tea so I could drink tea late at night and not have to worry about the caffeine. I do love a good coffee though.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Once a day versus like an all day long thing with the tea. All right. Next up is your way or the Jane way.
By your way, do you mean my way?
I mean your way.
Yes.
Or the Jane way.
I'd be lying if I said no. Puerile. That was it? No. Life form. Yes.
For me,
settled for $250.
I go
magnetodynamic forces.
I like the Jane way because my way, I don't know about I'm not that smart. I'm not as smart or brave or as brave as Jane way. I couldn't murder a very nice guy to get my two friends back.
Nah.
Self-anointed guardians of the universe.
See, the thing about Jane, when Jane,
this is a hard one.
When Janeway's like doing her way, she gets a fucking serious look on her face.
Dude.
She gets determined as fuck.
She does it.
You can see it in her face.
She gets her way.
She's like, you see her staring directly towards the invisible thing that she's going to get. Yep. So you got to go with the Jane.
There's coffee in the clouds.
There's coffee in
that. So it might be a wild goose chase.
Well, that's...
There's coffee in that
goose. I respect the Jane way, and maybe sometimes my way is the Jane way, but I'm...
Please don't do this.
I think I still have to go with my way.
All right.
With a respect for Jane.
Dan, did you say your way?
I love music.
Or the Jane way?
I'm saying the Jane way, yo.
All right, good. All right, so that was a little get to know the hosts game.
That was a fun game.
It was a fun game.
That was tight. We're gonna do that again.
I think we should do more. Well, we'll have a couple more similar ones, not quite as good later in the episode. Something to look forward to.
chocolate or vanilla?
But we'll maybe incorporate some of that more into the regular show. The next topic for the technical manual is
the techno manual,
and this is an important one. This is what's the target audience for the It's Got Star Trek podcast? Who should be listening?
Everyone.
First of all,
I have an important message.
And no one.
If you are still listening 20 minutes into the episode, you are the person who should be listening to this show.
This is important.
If you've been entertained thus far,
that's pretty good. Yeah.
You're probably part of the target audience. Now, we made what maybe could be certainly certainly interpreted as a strategic error when we started this podcast, because our decision at the beginning was that we wanted to cover new Star Trek as it was coming along.
Janeway straight up murdered Tuvix.
In 2019, Discovery was already going strong, Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks and other things. There was other things coming around the corner. So we were excited about covering new Star Trek, but we wanted to do weekly content, and we thought, hey, we'll just bounce around.
Sweet!
The Star Trek universe, the franchise is so big, and we are so scatterbrained.
That, scatter all over.
Instead of being like, say, an Enterprise podcast or a Deep Space Nine podcast, we would just be Star Trek generally.
Hell yeah!
Now, This is great for us because we get to watch different Star Trek from around the corpus of the franchise every week.
Around the centuries.
But it also means that it tends to make it the show most palatable people who have also watched all of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Or at least comfortable.
One might say we lack focus, I guess.
Yes. Yes. So that is, I won't say it's a detriment. It's just, that's the style of the
it's
show
a characteristic.
We got into somehow.
So we got to try to like do something that makes it entertaining for people, even if they haven't watched the episode somehow.
Well, and also some people, they haven't gotten to say Deep Space Nine yet. So they're like, okay, I'm just not going to listen to that week's episode. So we get that. But we also try, it's important to note, we try to make this a very evergreen show so that you should be able to listen to any episode and not rely, it's not reliant on you having to listen to all the previous podcasts.
Whether it's
this
like,
guy gets it.
You know, August 6th to 2025.
Yeah. So there are some jokes here and there that we'll go over later, some of the regular features we do.
Daddy daughter dagger dance.
But you don't need to have actually listened to every episode of It's Got Star Trek to enjoy those. Okay, now
humans, we really are the worst.
Anyway. Next up, I thought Dan.
Me.
Dan has brought.
You.
Uh-oh.
Dan has brought some theme songs.
Hey, Dan.
Some draft theme songs. And so
hey,
now
Dan,
we get to, we get to, now the important thing to note is all the theme song stuff is done by Dan. The current theme song, and Dan has put together, what, a few drafts of some potential new versions of the theme song?
Yeah, so.
Jesse and I have not heard this.
Right, so some of these are more fleshed out than others, and just because one happens to be more filled out and more complete, it doesn't necessarily mean that I think it's better. It's just sometimes when writing a song, some ideas sort of like one part just leads to the other very easily.
Sure.
Other ones you might have a good idea, one might have a good idea, but they just don't really quite know how to resolve it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's always weird. Like sometimes it just all falls into place, and other times it can be just as good. It's just it's harder to sort of like figure out where the next part goes, and that has to do with whatever kind of, you know,
mental disorder,
yeah. God of the gods in the sky or whatever, decides.
The muse,
Or
muse.
Hey.
There's Deep Space Nine's The Muse, and there's Voyager's Muse. We've covered both of them on this show.
So I'm going to play some different ideas that I've had. These were all, the last two ones I wrote were using a tracker software called Sunvox, which is basically like the final evolution of tracker software.
And you're talking about the current podcast, the current theme song and the previous one?
Yeah, yeah. And that's like, Sunvox is like crazy. They like tracker software, it's like vertical, it's kind of hard to explain. Look it up if you care to. But it's like a vertical piano roll it's a very DOS looking, and it's like you use a lot of numbers and codes.
Back
and stuff.
In the old 1995, we were rocking this shit.
Yeah, and actually, Deadmau5 got his start on tracker software. Yeah. I think he wrote some famous stuff on, I couldn't tell you which ones, but that's where he did. It was like a very efficient way of distributing music back then. And you could just, it just basically took like WAV files and pitched them up and down by, you know, slowing up and speeding them down. And then you'd put in codes to like do some glissando or volume stuff or vibrato
glissando.
Or stuff like that.
Glissandi.
Yeah. And so Sunvox took that idea and like took it to the next level. Now this time, what I ended up using is I use my laptop, an interface board, some software, and an analog synthesizer that I recently acquired.
Damn, dude. I saw that shit.
It's on the, I have, it's called the Arturia Polybrute, which is pretty cool. I like analog synthesizers, and I know, like, a lot of people will say, like, well, you know, you don't need an analog synthesizer. You can just get, like, software plugins that, like, they sound the same as the hardware. And you know what? They probably do.
It's just not as cool.
I mean, I'm sure it's good enough that they probably sound the same. But there's just something about the form factor. There's just something that I feel, like, more motivated when I have this hardware synthesizer. I could probably buy a MIDI keyboard and a bunch of, like, knobs and use software to assign to the knobs and recreate something. But I don't know. There's just something awesome.
Right now you're recreating the debate you had in your mind before you clicked buy.
I played.
Because
you were all like, okay, the reason I'm getting this.
I knew from the very start. I've just read so many times on the internet people saying like, you don't need to actually do this.
Read the internet.
Well, it's like
I stopped reading the internet.
Yeah, if you don't need to do it, then that's great for you. This is I'm totally not regretting this purchase, and I'm not even like making that up and trying to convince myself. Yeah. This thing is, I'm super into it.
Unfortunately, the problem is Dan's going to play some music. I haven't heard it. I know it's going to be awesome. This whole diatribe would be much more hilarious if Dan pushed play and it was just shit.
It was just
like he bought this expensive piece of equipment and just made some shit.
Choice.
Fart humor, guys.
Yeah.
That's not cool. We got a review once that somebody said, like, you guys are really clever, but you got too much fart humor. And by the way, we don't really have any fart humor until that guy wrote the review, and then that sort of compelled us to have more fart humor.
So I want to preface this by saying, like, if these might... If you get like
Jesse's just aggravating Dan.
If we don't think that any of these fit for like the opening, that's totally cool. I won't take it offense to it, because like something can be good, but it might not fit with our style. Yeah. So that's like I would if you guys don't think any of this fits with our style, I'm totally like fine. I'll use them for something else, because like if it doesn't fit, it just doesn't fit. So. I've got about five different things.
There's a little bit of a threat under there. Because you're like, I'll use them for something else. It's like, what is he talking about?
Just you wait. Okay, so this is actually the first... I spent the weekend, I had all these like different attempts at things. So this was my first attempt.
All right.
This is like a half idea. Slower. That's, as you can see,
that was groovy.
That's like that's like half an idea, yeah. Right?
No,
there.
It was fun. It was developing into something and then stopped, but it was good.
Yeah, right, really, exactly. And it can be shortened. Like there was a little too much intro to it.
A little sinister.
Yeah. So that was one idea. Here's something that I accidentally like. I was fooling with the sequencer, and I accidentally sort of like stumbled on this weird bass thing.
Spacey,
that was really good. I like that one a lot.
That was groovy.
This next one I call Clown Festival.
Did the other ones have sounds?
What?
Oh, sorry. Here's a, did the other ones have titles?
No. This is the only one with the title.
That actually intrigues me. It really intrigues me that you were like, no, this one.
Yeah.
This one conjures an image, and that image was Clown Festival.
It just came up. Like it just popped into my head. I didn't even try.
Let's hear it. Clown Festival.
I thought it was really good too. I think we could use like all of this music at like different times in the show. I thought the second one was the strongest for like a main theme.
I like the third one, but I think you need to
the third one or the first one could be like sort of interstitial music. Mm-hmm.
The third one I thought could be an
clown
intro.
Festival.
Yeah, I thought Clown Festival but maybe adding some clips from Star Trek or something.
Yeah, that's,
you know, like on top, because it had like the good bass thing was going on. Mm-hmm. Some interesting
totally.
Some
rhythms
of this,
there.
Some of this needs. Do we want to take a break now and come back?
We'll take a break in a second. Okay. How many do we have? What, two left?
Two more.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say like
a long break.
These definitely need some more mixing. I used the wrong headphones for doing this. I realized they sounded really good in these one headphones, and I was like, oh shit, these headphones like aren't like as true sound as like some other headphones I had. And
true sound headphones.
So it didn't like quite sound the same. So it needs mixing. I was thinking about adding clips over top, and also like maybe make the drum beat a little more interesting, or like and do some. So these aren't final things here.
But I was digging that. It was making me feel happy.
Yeah. This one is, this one is, I don't know. This one I just kind of like was fucking around. Supposed to have stopped by then. Notice I didn't mix it. I didn't
trim this one. Eternal, sinister, and evil.
Yeah.
It's just key. I didn't.
It already had the character of like you're about to be launched on a rocket to your doom.
And now you have to wait till you're now you've been launched and you're waiting to die.
Is this gonna go on forever?
Yeah, I don't know. I was supposed to have cut this one off earlier and I didn't. This is one that could have stood some more mixing because in the mix I had before, you could hear like the separate voices a little better. So that one needs to be mixed a little better. But cool.
All right.
I don't know what that's. Okay.
Here's like the last one with no title.
No title. This is the last one. All right.
Just looking at extras. Like, it's like, I'm not dead yet. Yeah. I'm not dead yet. I'm still here.
Okay. Here's the last one.
I think that's the one.
That's my favorite one. That, right on. Shorten it up. Add an It's Got Star Trek in there somewhere, and that's fucking fantastic.
It's Got Star Trek at the end, maybe.
Or wherever.
I don't think you need to shorten it up.
I think you should shorten it up a little. but just a little. It's great. We'll it's high energy. I love that.
That is it.
It's like, I want to get, it's like, let's get, let's fucking do this.
Yeah. So that totally fits our whole thing, man.
Right on. That's actually the one I was leaning towards as well. The thing that's difficult, I timed it. It's only about 4 or 5 seconds longer than the one we had before. Is the other thing. So,
and again, not to reopen that debate, I think the one we currently have is slightly too long. But that's because we have different taste in podcast opening. But I really like that. I liked all five of those were fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I agree with Jesse. Maybe some of those we could use, I don't know, for commercial breaks or something like that.
It'd be fun to see how we could fit those in. Because I don't think we need to get rid of any of those. Those are all usable.
I'm digging the analog too, man. I mean, I'm with you that I think that there's value in that analog stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
I know, yes, technically you could probably accomplish a lot analog of pretty much the same, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Something about the whole, like I said, the whole form factor and just the feeling I get when I sit in front of it. It just makes me feel like I want to, like,
yeah.
It doesn't make me feel like I'm doing as much work. Yeah. You know, it's more fun to do it.
Yeah, it's fucking groovy. All right.
Right on.
So, yes, let's take a break. And when we come back from the break, we will continue the It's Got Star Trek technical manual in which we discuss the ins and outs of this particular podcast program. Be right back.
Run, coward.
Well done.
Awesome.
Okay, and we are back.
Holograms?
Cool. Sound effects.
Someone snap upstairs.
Yeah. All right, well, we will talk about Dan's sound effects and where they came from.
Later.
No, we won't.
We'll do that later. First, a very quick...
Sounds wonderful for the children.
A very quick little host facts segment. Just thought people might be interested in what are some of our likes and dislikes, or at least our likes. I don't know about our dislikes. But I was thinking about music. You were just talking about music, and you guys are both proper musicians. You've played for money.
Yeah, not for much money.
Not for very much.
But technically for money.
Technically.
Little bits
here and there.
So what genres are you into? You like what musical genres? And I know both of you have very broad tastes. All three of us have.
Because I like all sorts of
I think
stuff.
A fairly eclectic and broad set of genres. But what are some things that influenced you?
I've said this before on the podcast that I think two albums that really sort of opened my eyes to the idea that you could like an entire album because back
Billy
then.
Billy Joel, River of Dreams.
It was. Because it was back then, because it was like you'd hear the song on the radio and then you'd have to buy the whole album unless you just bought the single. But often it would just be the case. People would just buy the whole album.
Yeah. I never just bought singles.
And then a lot of the album and the a lot. Yeah, neither did I. And a lot of times the whole album would kind of suck, but there'd be a couple good songs. Mm-hmm. They Might Be Giants was one. That,
Flood. Absolutely. I agree with you.
First time I heard Out Come the Wolves by Rancid, that was like, I liked every song on that. That album begins with an awesome, like, Maxwell Murder has a crazy ass bass solo in it. Yeah, it's an amazing fucking song. And that song, that album just keeps going. And also, I didn't think about this till recently, but the first time I heard Slippery When Wet, I was pretty taken with it. Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet.
Okay.
I was really young when I heard that. And
I never was
into Bon Jovi, but someone got my brother that album for his birthday, and I remember listening to it, and I was like, hey.
Did you listen to it all secretly through the door? Like, no. Did you put your ear to the door?
No, we were in the car.
You were in the
car. We were on the way to, like, Ice Capades or something.
Ice Capades. You
weren't in the car in the garage with a hose sticking through the window and attached to the tailpipe listening to Bon Jovi?
Driving to Ice Capades in our Plymouth Voyager.
Okay.
Minivan.
I know you're telling the truth. It sounds made up.
Brown Plymouth Voyager.
You and I have we're a similar age and we have a similar experience. Flood, They Might Be Giants was, I think, the first, it's definitely the first full album that I liked every song and that my brain was kind of like, oh shit, I didn't know that music could do this. This is kind of cool.
To sort of like go further on the point, like I'm not a big Bon Jovi guy by any means, but I was super young and when I heard that album, I just remember thinking it kind of rocked at the time.
I just like how you're like... It wasn't me. It was my brother. No, I was young. I don't think that anymore.
I'm
not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm just saying. I don't want people to get the wrong impression that I'm like some big John. Yeah. You know, because it's like when you tell your aunt that you like Korn. Suddenly you're getting five cans of Korn for your birthday every year.
Oh, they meant Korn. Korn, the band.
Oh no. Like I mean, like Korn
with
corn.
A K.
For me it was Flood. The other one around the same time, maybe Flood was probably when I was 12 or something that I heard that. And when I was 13, I heard Queen's The Greatest Hits 2 collection. And granted, it was Greatest Hits. It's not like an album, but it was another one that really introduced me to a band that I liked. I started liking not every song, but like a huge proportion of their songs.
Gives you a good
selection
of their tunes.
How about you, Jesse? You were saying...
What was I saying?
Were you saying Rancid?
No, Jesse. Rancid. Jesse was. I don't think Jesse was into Rancid.
Yeah, Jesse. What are you? What music?
I like Rancid now, but I didn't necessarily like them. Everything they did, like back in the day.
So you like their newer stuff?
No, actually, I'm not into their newer stuff. I just have more appreciation for their whole catalog in later years.
Yeah.
It wasn't my thing necessarily back in the day. I liked some. I liked when. What was the one with Let's Go? I like that album.
That's like a country punk album almost.
Well, what did you like back in those days?
Oh, no.
Were you listening to The Beatles?
The Beatles?
Were you listening to
The Beatles? No,
what was I listening to? Like, The Beatles? I guess like a lot of like Nirvana or like Nirvana
rules.
Sonic Youth.
Yeah.
Or like.
Oh, those are good. I liked all those too.
Mudhoney.
Oh, yeah.
Melvins.
I really got into the Minutemen too.
I got into Minutemen a little bit later on, but but like then like Minutemen was like the tightest shit ever. Or like Fugazi, I've always like listened to a lot of Fugazi.
And you introduced me, Jesse, to John Frusciante from the Chili Peppers, his solo album.
Yeah, that's right.
It was the double album, usually just a T-shirt and something else. I forget what the first part of it.
Yeah, that's like sort of crazy.
I don't even know how to pronounce it. Neandra Late something.
You guys are way cooler than I am. I was just listening. They Might Be Giants. And Weird Al Yankovic pretty much exclusively.
You've always been a Chili Peppers guy, but like I haven't necessarily respect for them, but they're not necessarily my
I know the Weird Al song where he parodies the Chili Peppers.
Yeah, yeah.
Bedrock Anthem. That's how I know the Chili Peppers.
Yeah. I've been into Chili Peppers for a good long time since I think I got into them around Blood Sugar Sex Magik, and then actually Mother's Milk was the first time I heard of them, and then Blood Sugar Sex Magik is when I listened. And then I went and bought all their previous albums before that, and there's some really interesting songs, like some funky stuff. Like one of the albums was produced by George Freaky Styling was produced by George Clinton.
Exactly, yeah. They're very George Clinton influenced.
Some of the early ones,
and they're also sort of Minutemen influenced.
And we all like to varying degrees classical music as well.
Yeah, I love any kind of like Bach preludes or inventions or
you're
like those...
Bach-ish. I'm
Bach's
more,
pretty good.
I'm Mozart-y. Jesse's not as into Mozart.
I'm a Schoenberg guy.
Yeah, he's all about.
I like Bach because like his two part the sort of like these two part inventions.
I like a Bach too.
Like his two part inventions are like it's very mathematical. Yeah. It's like it's also emotional, but there's this really neat mathematical sort of feel to it.
Mozart was fairly mathematical too, but with more playfulness. And I think probably I'm attracted to the playfulness in
they call him Playful Patrick.
Yeah, that's what they do. They didn't call me anything else.
Oh yes.
I've also, in the past couple years, I've been getting into Bonobo as well.
Oh, Bonobo's great. Yeah. I like Bonobo. Bonobo's really... pairs well with the videos. So listening to Bonobo songs with the videos, because the videos tend to be very meditative, contemplative, in a way that matches the rhythm and the themes of the music.
Mm-hmm. The first time I heard the first Clash album, that was really good too.
Music is great.
Wait, I got one.
Okay.
How about food?
Food?
Yeah.
I like food.
Favorite food? No, we should save some for... This is going to be a new segment.
Save some food for
all right, we'll do food on a future episode of It's Got Star
Trek. I
want to
do food now.
You're just hungry.
No, I'm not.
It's such a topic.
We got to get back to the podcast.
I thought we were doing more favorite things.
No, well, we're doing favorite music.
We got sidetracked with music. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah, we got a lot of other stuff. We have a huge list of things.
So we're not going
to
talk about food today?
No.
I wanted to just... Why can't we just throw out a piece of food we like?
Let's do it on
Patreon. We should talk about food.
Just throw out one piece of food you like.
Any more music.
Just one piece of food you like.
A big pile of shit.
Okay, what do you...
Shitty poop.
Okay, what about you, Jesse?
No fart humor here. I'm a coprophagiac. I like to eat feces.
Wait, what did you say, Jesse?
He said feces.
I like fish.
You know what? You know what I like?
Macabre bread, no crust.
Okay. Oh, no. All right.
Macabre bread. Roxagino, extra sweet. Macabre bread, no crust.
What we need a little light, Dan. We need a little...
It tells me I'm setting it up for
you
something.
You need to push a button and a little light that says, just go with it, Patrick.
Yeah,
just go with it.
Just go with it.
What do you put...
I'm not being recalcitrant.
Do you put anything on the macabre bread? Do you put some kind of macabre jam?
Yeah, he wanted something.
I know what you don't put on the macabre bread.
Do you dip it?
I know what you don't put on it. Crust. You don't put crust on the macabre bread.
Well, that's... He takes it off.
Take it off and then you can put it on top.
You put it in the ractagino. You put the crust in the ractagino.
Okay. All right. Enough of that silliness. So now I wanted to briefly go over what our basic show structure is so people understand.
Chief O'Brien.
Show structure.
You're getting hints of it here, but this is an unusual show. This is episode 300. It's always a crazy show, right? These hundreds, every 100 episodes.
Especially if 300.
Yeah. But a regular show. A regular episode of It's Got Star Trek. And by the way, all of this is flexible and it's not true of every episode. And we might and probably will tweak the format as we go. So
unfocused, inflexible, and weak.
This is not a legal statement. This is merely a statement of current basic facts. Don't hold us to this in case we need to make tweaks in the future. But we do provide weekly content every week. Like I said, every week since 2019, we've provided content to our
audience.
It's
been a week.
Dag, yo.
Not always good content, but it is content.
1 week.
Passable content.
We aim for about 90 minutes per episode.
It's been a strange couple of weeks.
And sometimes we used to go way over this.
Yeah, it's sometimes too long. We're a little shorter, but we try to be fairly consistent about the...
The ship will be ready to go in another week.
90-ish minutes.
Some of those early episodes.
Oh, yeah.
My wife told me something along those lines just last week.
And we'll sometimes do a movie or something where we'll take a little extra time. It's about 30 minutes per break, or segment, or whatever you want to call it. So we try to do three segments of about 30 minutes each. Again, give or take.
Now, 8 minutes left.
15 minutes.
We do a number of regular segments that come up depending on the content of the episode that we're discussing. We'll go over those separately. We'll have a separate section where we go into those into some detail. But what is very consistent is each episode starts with a clip from the episode we're discussing, and it's usually a clip that is intended. My intention when I select those clips is to sort of to represent the key thematic element of the episode. Normally, Star Trek's largely is pretty well written, so normally it's I'm able to find a clip in there that sort of it represents the thrust of that episode, the vibe of that episode.
Thrust?
Yes, that's the goal. And a fun...
Oh, I think I found the landing thrusters.
And
with maximum thrust against the pull.
And a fun game the audience can play at home before they even listen to the episode that week of It's Got Star Trek is they can try to guess which clip will Patrick have selected to put at the front of the episode.
The game allows it!
And a similar game, and we'll talk more about Dan's audio clips in a second, is which clips will Dan have captured? And
that is a fun game.
And a continuation of this game, I mean, it's basically the same game. At the end of every episode, which not all of you get to the end of the episode, so you probably don't even know this. Some of you won't even know this, but at the end of every episode, we tack on another little clip, and the goal there is to have an amusing clip, either that's inherently amusing or that out of context is amusing. And on some episodes that are on the darker side, it can be harder to find a clip that evokes amusement. But I try my best, and that's another fun game. Try to guess which clip.
Did someone say game?
We've picked for the end of the episode.
Chief O'Brien.
As for what makes up the bulk of the episode, I'd like to say that we have sort of insightful...
At the very least, you can hang it on your bulkhead.
Calm discussions.
Yep, lots of clips.
Applying all of our critical expertise about the content of the episode. That might happen sometimes.
Sometimes.
Mostly it's just silliness. It's just silliness. And it gets back to who's the audience for this show. It's just... We're just trying to have fun. We fucking love Star Trek. Star Trek's awesome. All of it's good. Even the bad Star Trek is good. It's all fun.
It's time to have some fun.
It's a fun franchise. You all are fun. The audience is great.
Not a funny face.
We love interacting with folks. It's a good time. And so that's what we're hoping for. We're just hoping to provide a good time.
And if you don't like that, it's fuck you.
Yes.
Fun!
Jesse will come to your house and yell at you.
I will burn it down.
Just for fun.
But we do like to talk about each episode, and I do joke, but I do think we provide some pretty cool commentary on some of these episodes.
I'm not joking, Lee.
That's right.
Yeah, indeed.
We're cool guys.
We are pretty cool
guys. We're dangerous.
Another big part of the episode, we do like, you know, we get a lot of voicemails, emails, stuff like that, interact with the audience in that fashion. So, that's the basic structure.
We're dangerous.
Of things. Now, we do also have some common questions. What are some common questions that we get?
I don't get it.
We thought we'd answer them now. One of the common questions that comes up is, why don't you do interviews? That's something that we haven't really... delved into.
Because nobody returns our call.
No, actually, quite the opposite. We've had people email us wanting to be interviewed on the podcast. Shit. And we're not against it, maybe. But
why?
I think there's two key things here. I think the main thing is that we've discussed it, and given the particular vibe we're going for, I think it's hard to squeeze an interview into that. I'm not going to say it's impossible. I don't want to rule it out.
It would have to be a whole episode.
I'm just like, it's like the show we've set up doesn't necessarily really have a spot for like us doing an interview, right?
We'd have to do a special, and it would be the whole show.
I mean, it's not like we've had tons of people asking for
No, but the point is like there's... It's not impossible for us to get interviews with some people if you know, I'm not sure. We could get no, it's feasible. But that kind of brings
they do
up
that shit.
That kind of brings up the other side of it, which is there are other podcasts who are doing a way better job than we ever could in terms of like interviewing people.
Way.
Like they're already out there. We do not need to repeat the efforts, do a lower quality version
of what
other people are
doing.
Now, I could see, I've had this fantasy of not having an interview.
Could you see?
I could see us having...
He could see.
Could you say?
Like having
I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
Indeed.
Ball.
I could see somebody like Tim Russ just coming on the podcast and just hanging out with us.
Oh, that's cool.
And not doing an interview. I don't want to be like, so what did you think about episode 31?
No,
what did you think about Tuvix or whatever?
He can say whatever he wants.
We're not equipped to do that. So yeah, we don't really do interviews. And
well, if somebody wants to come on the podcast and just shoot the shit with us and be silly.
And by the way, we love having guests, hosts from other podcasts that we've had that frequently.
Yeah. It's always been great.
Have fans come on board. We do like having people join us from time to time.
Time after time.
Indeed. Another common question that comes up is, why don't you guys do YouTube video version of podcasts?
Because it's a big fucking production. That's why.
Exactly. It is a big fucking production.
You can still watch us on YouTube.
We'd be interested in doing that. But yeah, in terms of the workflow, this is a bit behind the scenes.
But
that's the point of this. It's got Star Trek technical manual that we're doing today. Dan collecting sound clips is a lot of work.
It does take time.
There's a lot of work doing the graphics, finding a time.
We couldn't do it all with one camera. It'd have to be a couple of cameras.
Yeah, finding time to record.
Edit it down.
Where am I from? Graphics. Graphics. Graphics.
Scandinavia.
His ass has some
Australia.
His ass has weird graphics. Jesse was right. Philadelphia. That's right. My Philadelphia accent.
Well done, Jesse.
Those kids that were like, kick his ass.
His ass has some graphics.
But we
graphics.
The schedule for editing, the schedule for recording, all of that is a little complicated. All three of us have fraught schedules.
Goodness.
And adding video into the workflow. I think it's a little complicated at this time.
So you have four subsponders in the corners that interface with the ion generator in the center with
Sorry, that just
this human is full of words.
That clip was labeled complicated. And I think that was more of a description of the clip than it was complicated.
And Dan will provide some more details in a moment about his sound clip action. But the long and the short of it is, we're not saying no. We're not saying no to incorporating video at some point, either on a regular basis or doing some special video content.
I would love to do some video stuff. Who wants to like volunteer their time for us to like do that?
Yeah.
I would love it.
That's the tricky thing. I think we'll be able to work it out in some fashion. I don't know how regular it'll be. But
a couple of specials.
I know we're 300 episodes in, and I know everyone's doing video, and you can monetize video, and it's the whole thing that everyone wants to watch. I get it.
And everyone wants clips and clips and clips.
The problem is, all the extra
stuff. You all right
stuff,
over there? Hey, Jesse, are you all right over there?
The main things you're missing out on is Dan will frequently physically act out one of his points that he's trying
to make.
Which is great.
Hailing frequencies.
I make cute cat-like smiles.
Or
from
noises.
Time to time.
You like to go meow.
I do.
I like to sneeze.
Yeah. Jesse will sometimes fall asleep, and that's kind of fun.
Ooh, sometimes. A lot of times.
It's fun to watch Jesse just sort of slowly fall asleep.
Ooh, there's a few of those.
Dan has a great exasperator.
I bet.
Or when Jesse's trying to eat a snack off mic, and he's being completely, he's failing because he's eating fucking like toffee or some shit like that. He's like, I'm just going to... It's just a bunch of popcorn toffee. What's the problem? So that's why we don't have YouTube.
There used to be more vape sounds that would come.
Yeah.
Up
well, I try to. Vaping. I really try to.
Yeah. Well, but more
even
of
with eating, I try.
I used to vape. More
I used
too.
To not give a fuck, but I guess I don't know. You looked at me so many times.
we try to balance between casual and not. Like, because this is a well-produced show, if we have to say so ourselves, which sometimes we do. The audio quality is good.
I'm producing
the
fuck out
of this
show.
We have great equipment here and stuff, but we do want to, like, we were like, oh, yeah, let's be casual. But sometimes it's like, oh, let's not be that fucking casual.
Yeah, there's casual and there's, like, you know. Yeah. Zip it up.
Yeah. So another
casual
question,
queries offered inconspicuously.
Another
might
question.
Prove fruitful.
Another question that comes up rather frequently is: are you guys okay? No, not really.
Are you okay, Dan?
That's why we're doing this podcast.
Not. I mean,
I wonder about myself.
I mean, relative to like other times in my life, or just like in general?
Well, to other times, we're all doing great.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
But you know, relative to the universal schema, I don't know,
the cosmic constant.
Yeah. Last question, which is perhaps the more interesting question,
perhaps,
what are the most impactful Star Trek episodes for you? Not necessarily favorite. And I don't know, impactful, you could define that a few different ways. But for me, that made me think of things like...
All hands, brace for impact.
Like Yesteryear from TAS.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one with Spock?
That's the one with Spock.
Yeah, that's on my list,
too. It's probably what got me into Star Trek.
Yeah.
Right? I saw that at the right time in my life to be like, oh, this is an interesting story that speaks to me.
That's always
because my Saylot also died protecting me.
A child.
Now, impactful doesn't necessarily have to be good. I think Vulcan was a pretty impactful episode.
Yeah, actually, yeah,
because that was the one with the giant Spock.
Yeah,
and you know what, you guys,
Infinite Vulcan. It's guys, he's not infinite. He's a discrete size.
You guys hated this episode, and I know I recognize that it's not a good episode, but I was entertained by was it the counterclock incident?
Oh, yeah.
Where they went to the negative universe. I thought that was so entertaining. Yeah. It was just like so silly and ridiculous. And
Are black.
Yeah, I know. It made no sense. But like, I was watching it. I was like, what's going to happen next? Like, and that's the thing. It's like, when you say what's going to happen next, it can indicate that it's like, got a good story, got you on the edge of your seat. No, I was wondering what was going to happen next because nothing sort of followed each other. Yeah. Nothing made fucking sense. So everything that happened was kind of a nice little surprise. It's like, oh, that's happening now. I remember there was also the episode, which was near the beginning, was when they were going through that that space cloud and it had like antimatter guts.
Yeah,
it
was like the stomach of a space nebula creature.
It was on TAS.
And it was that all of our worlds are missing or something?
Oh, yeah.
It was the one where like,
or one of our worlds.
The cloud digested people because it had antimatter guts or something.
And it would be like...
Yeah.
That was visually very interesting.
And I think it was one of the first ones, too, where they were like walking around on some kind of colorful monster ship, too. I think that was one of the earlier ones,
Beyond the Farthest Star, I think, is one of those. How about you, Jesse?
Well, I would agree with you. The Spock thing...
Yesteryear
is definitely on my list. I really like the episode where Data's having nightmares.
Oh yeah.
Now are we going to TNG now? Are we doing all Star Trek? Or
I was just. It doesn't matter.
I thought it was everything.
It doesn't have to be everything.
Well,
I prepared for everything.
Well, no, I know. I didn't know if we were doing it in categories like now we're doing TAS, now we're doing TOS, because I got other ones.
Because there's that one, and then like there was a time when I used to think about Inner Light a lot. Like I would say the last several decades of my life, I haven't given it much thought. But but back in the day when it came on, I did.
For me,
I did, in fact,
the TNG. One that I never shake is Cause and Effect.
Oh yeah, I like Clues. Is the other
Clues one. Is great too, but Cause and Effect. There's something about the story structure.
The whole episode feels like you're playing a game or something. Yeah. It's really tightly put together. But I mean, I don't think any of them can really compare to iBorg.
Oh shit.
Okay, new listeners who are listening to the It's Got Star Trek Technical Manual. Dan's pulling a little bit of a joke here. Joke is...
I don't think it's a joke.
I don't think... I don't think it's a joke, but it is a joke. The answer simultaneously
is a brilliant
quantum
joke.
Answer because it's simultaneously 100% sincere, and it's also hilarious because Dan is always bringing up iBorg.
He's a comic genius.
Because Dan likes talking... He's mad that Picard didn't genocide the Borg because Dan is pro-genocide.
Well, that's okay.
Interpret that incorrectly?
I think that was... Maybe you.
I may have interpreted.
You may
and
have derived your own
incorrectly.
Context from what I said. Right. I say that iBorg is when Picard has the opportunity to live his true fullest Picardiness in that episode. He is as true to Picard as he can be in that episode.
What?
And this episode is a representation of who Picard is and like everything that he sort of encapsulates
as
a captain. It's all in iBorg because like. He had the chance to get rid of the Borg right there.
Right, Jerry Seinfeld.
Then he didn't do it. Some would say, like, you fucking idiot. Why didn't you do it? It's no.
They did. A lot of the admirals were pissed off.
But that's easy to say. But when you think about it, you don't have to think about it too much. I mean, they pretty much hit you over the head with it. But, like, the fact is that, like, that's how Picardy is because it's not right. Yeah. If something is not right, it is irrelevant the good that can come out. Does it relevant how many millions of lives are saved? Yeah. Because it's not correct. There are certain things you do not do. You do not commit genocide, even if it saves billions of lives.
Of course, in that episode, he was totally planning to do it until he was convinced otherwise.
Well,
so he did have to be convinced.
We don't think about that.
if you guys got some other episodes, because like for Deep Space Nine, I was thinking,
the only reason he didn't consider it at first was because he had a PTSD from the whole Borg situation.
He was happy to kill.
And that was just influenced by his previous bad experiences. Yeah. That person didn't convince him; they just reminded him who he was.
Okay.
Picard momentarily forgot who he was. He forgot that he was Jean-Luc Picard.
All right.
He thought he was
Jean-Luc Picard.
He still thought he was Locutus.
Locutus.
Whenever I think of Locutus, I think of mucus.
I think of cute. You're cute.
The cutest.
The cute, anus.
I didn't say the cute anus.
Son of a bitch.
But Jesse, you were saying, like, for Deep Space Nine, I was saying In the Pale Moonlight, which I know it's a common answer, but again, it's run. I'm a big Deep Space Nine head. A niner. Is that what they call him? Niner?
No.
Supposedly.
Supposedly.
And I love that episode. I mean, I love so many episodes, but that's a good one.
I like the one where O'Brien has like a total nervous breakdown and like we're a little worried that he's going to take it a little too far by the end. Remember when he's like,
are you talking about Hard Time? Are you just talking about all the O'Brien episodes?
The one where like they had to talk him off the ledge at one point. And at the end of the episode, was that Hard Time?
Yeah, Hard Time is where he was trying to blow his brains out with a phaser.
Yeah, that was
or
pretty.
Phase his brains out.
That was one of the heaviest episodes.
Yes,
of Star
it was.
Trek, I think. Talking about impactful. Oh, also, this Trials and Tribulations was pretty fun.
Yes,
that was a fun episode. Whether you liked it or not, it was pretty interesting.
You're talking about the Deep Space Nine one, right?
Yeah, is that Trials and Tribulations?
Yes, it is. Yeah, because it's Trouble with Tribbles. Yeah, Trials and Tribulations.
That is a really fun one.
I forget what the TAS one is. Tribbles and Tribbles. Triple bits. Trouble with Edward.
I don't know if they'd really done anything quite like that before in Star Trek.
That was the Forrest Gump style, where they inserted them into the TOS style.
Right. Also. I think they did a pretty good job. And I mean, whether you like it or not, I thought it was pretty interesting.
What about TOS episodes? What are ones that jump out at you?
Speaking once again, just because impactful doesn't mean it's the best. My earliest memory of Star Trek was the scene leading up to and including where Kirk created that diamond cannon in Arena.
That's the
earliest Star Trek memory.
Arena's
like,
a good one.
I remember him. He's like doing that weak battle with the Gorn. Of course, I'm a little kid. I'm just like, whoa, this is crazy. But and then you look later, it's all cheesy. Yeah. And then he makes that diamond cannon and blows him to bits. And I'm just like, that's the first Star Trek memory I have. And therefore, that's like the most impactful Star Trek memory I have. And it's not. It's just by incident, by chance. You know?
I think that's an early one. For that series that I saw, or like the Guardian. Forever.
Yeah, City on the Edge of Forever.
Yeah.
That was on my list, because City on the Edge of Forever, and again, I know it's a bit of a cliched answer. I was a young person watching that episode. I'd already been into Star Trek at that point, but City on the Edge of Forever, the question it posed, which was the idea, the philosophical conundrum of needing to let someone die in order to save millions of lives.
I don't get it.
Was interesting.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
And for a young child to be confronted with that, and in such a way that was just really nicely acted and written.
You don't get it.
It was a good episode, so.
I don't get it.
I always thought that was really powerful. I didn't really have anything on my list for Voyager or Enterprise or the more recent episodes.
I dig
series.
Like Lower Decks.
Oh yeah, Lower
that's,
Decks.
That's a show that I can sort of like put on and like watch like a whole bunch of it. It's cool to like watch again and again.
Might be my second favorite after Deep Space Nine.
I like the episode of Enterprise where they had Sam from Quantum Leap on, or Al. Is it Al or Sam? Yeah. Sam is Bakula, and Al was the other guy.
Yeah, that's where the We're Dangerous sound clip comes from.
Al was always talking to...
Detained is the name of the episode.
Al was always talking to Ziggy or something.
What's that fool's name?
Al was always talking to Ziggy and...
Dean Stockwell.
Al was always talking to Ziggy, and Ziggy was always giving them a percentage of like how well like this person's life was going to turn out
well
afterwards.
You never see Ziggy.
Ziggy's
We're Dangerous.
Hi. Speaking of being dangerous, we are...
You're dangerous.
...running up against a break. So we will take this break, and when we...
Holograms?
When we continue, we will... we're not going to conclude our discussion. discussion of an episode, but rather we're going to conclude our It's Got Star Trek technical manual.
We're going to try to.
We will. Be right back.
Hi.
And we're back.
All your base are belong to us.
Damn, dude.
Indeed they are. All right, well, we don't have too much time left in today's program in episode 300. So let's move through these final items with alacrity. So first, final host facts. I just wanted to ask, you know, what's your favorite media? Now, we've got movies, TV, books, theater, music. And I know favorite is a fraught term because we all like all of these things. But what's your kind of go-to?
I like, my favorite media is probably beefia.
I don't know what that means.
Or maybe, or, you know, like meat, media.
Fleafia.
Oh, he's doing a meat joke.
Beedia.
Porkia.
Porkia. I try not to eat porkia.
Do you really?
Turkataya?
I've been trying to eat little to
what
no
about
pork.
Turkataya?
You know, they don't. I've complained about this before, but when you go to the frozen pizza aisle, look for a red sauce based frozen pizza that does not have pork.
Oh, yeah, no.
Now, I'm not talking about a four-cheese pizza. They have a four-cheese, but like, as you pointed out the other day, they don't even have like single-cheese pizzas.
There's no cheese pizza. It's four or five.
So they only have like a four or five-cheese pizza.
Not even a three.
If you want a topping on your sauce-based pizza, a red sauce-based pizza, it will have pork.
There's no
veggie supreme. There's no like ground beef pizza.
It's hard to find a veggie. Yeah.
The only meat ones you can find without pork are like chicken Alfredo or barbecue chicken or something like that.
Yeah,
or like bacon, or even they have chicken bacon ranch. And that I was going to say that, but that is bacon.
Yeah. Fuck that.
So man. Like I just want like a veggie supreme
fucking
pizza, but
pizza.
They just can't. They don't do it. Anyway, why were we talking about that? Oh yeah, meatia. Meatia.
How about you, Jesse? You like music?
What's your favorite frozen pizza?
Are you talking about Star Trek?
Just whatever. Just in general.
What's your favorite frozen pizza, Jesse?
Yeah, so we got two questions coming at you, Jesse. Your favorite frozen pizza and your favorite form of media. Yeah.
I like to listen to music. I like to read books. Yeah. I tend to like TV over movies.
What about pizza? What kind of pizza? Just regular pizza. What's your favorite pizza?
I tend to like pizza that doesn't have like red sauce.
Okay.
Like a white pizza.
Like an Italian style white pizza thing.
Like a white pizza. But I like to have anything on it, like sausage or green peppers.
You like those things?
Yeah.
Would you like to have clams?
I'm not into pepperoni, but I could.
I had a clam pizza in Boston.
I could eat a clam on pizza. I could eat shrimp on a pizza.
The clam pizza I had in Boston was pretty rad.
Crab
people.
Do you guys Hawaiian pizza?
I'm not into Hawaiian pizza.
Not so much, but it's not. Yeah. It's not the worst thing.
Yeah. It doesn't disgust me if it's there. Yeah. But it's not.
Yeah,
I don't have
it's fine.
I don't have a strong opinion on it. Now, like I said, I'm trying not to eat so much pork, so I probably wouldn't eat it. But like, I don't. As far as flavors goes, I'm not like, oh, it's so great, or it's so disgusting.
If it's on a buffet,
it's so gross.
There's a pizza buffet, and there's all sorts of different types of pizza, and that's one of the types of pizza. You could have a slice of that and be like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, right. You could do that.
Sorry, Dan's making me laugh. He's making little jerk-off motions. He's pretending. He's looking at Jesse and making little jerk-off motions. I don't think he means to insult Jesse's pizza. No,
that's just what he does on the podcast.
I think it's at the point in the show when Dan's just staring at me.
That time he had the recording device and he would murmur shit about. He's like, Jesse's full of shit.
His Bodkin-style recorder device, and then he was doing side podcast.
Yeah, Patrick's into this thing where he insists that I do things and have things that I don't have. It's his way of like trying to get my goat somehow. It's like this feels so like fifth grade. It's like, you have a Bodkin style recorder and I'm supposed to be like, no I don't, come on guys,
you take it back.
No I don't have a Bodkin recorder, you guys. No I don't.
And very maturely,
and Patrick is just like, I got him again, did it again. Another point for Patrick, the brilliant mind of Patrick.
And Dan very maturely evaded my question about media and then shifted it to a topic of frozen pizza to get me back for not acquiescing to his what's your favorite food question from the last break.
I like a barbecue chicken pizza though.
I don't. That's gross. But I like a pepperoni and sausage. That's the basic go-to.
I don't like pepperoni.
I like a lot of pizza, but I'm a big pepperoni.
Mock up a bread, no crust.
That's like, sausage.
Wait a second, Patrick. Like you too. Love barbecue sauce on a burger, but you don't like it on a pizza.
No, I'm not interested in on a pizza.
But you think it's gross
on a burger.
Not gross, but I'm not. I don't really have any interest in. I've tasted the barbecue chicken pizza. To me, it's not a pizza.
No, okay,
You're putting barbecue sauce on a burger.
Yeah, like a cowboy burger, Texas burger. You put some fried onions and barbecue sauce.
Let me just say, I will eat a barbecue chicken pizza. It's not my favorite. Yeah. I don't think it's bad. Yeah. I don't think it's bad. It's fine.
It's an option.
But I will tell you that I'm not into a burger with barbecue sauce and like onion rings on it. That's too much.
I love it.
That's too much.
No, then put a fried egg on it.
No.
That yolk looping out. A burger is enough. Spilling out all over my shirt.
This is what I want on a burger. I want a burger, cheddar cheese, pickle, and raw red onion.
Yeah, yes. You don't. That's right.
Raw and red. I like a raw red onion too.
It doesn't have to have a bunch of stuff on it.
Right, yeah, exactly. I might put mayonnaise and mustard on it.
Cheese and toppings.
Like mayonnaise and like some nice gray poupon. Or some kind of yellow mustard. Not yellow mustard.
I go for some Swiss and mushroom.
Yeah, Swiss is
That's
good.
Fair enough. I'm sorry, I take it back. I'm not so much into the yellow mustard unless it's like a fast food burger. I like either like spicy mustard or a brown mustard or like some kind of Dijon mustard and maybe some mayonnaise, but not necessarily.
I don't think so.
I think. What do you mean you don't think so? You don't like mustard? Oh, you don't like mustard.
No. Jesse doesn't like mustard. He doesn't like mayonnaise
or mayonnaise.
He doesn't like mustard. Right. Doesn't really like ketchup either, except in certain contexts, right? He doesn't like eggs.
It could be an ingredient. Yeah.
He likes watching people make eggs. It's fascinating.
He likes watching people do stuff in general. He likes to hover over people and look over their shoulder and go like.
Jesse looms.
And you go, he'll go.
I am quite tall. I can loom.
Speaking of, we need to move along home to discuss.
Alamarine, flame, Alamarine, flame. Is that what they say?
No, to discuss some regular features and segments that we have on the show.
No.
One of them is, we already mentioned Jesse's sneezes. That's a regular one.
I did that one.
There's also, of course, Jesse's incisive background comments. It is not unusual for me to be editing the podcast or for us to get an email or voicemail from somebody pointing out that Jesse says something very clever that neither Dan and I notice because Dan and I are locked into some sort of verbal battle or some sort or whatever.
Yep.
And then Jesse says something that we don't hear, but that is really much more intelligent.
That reminds me, I meant to get back to you about something you said a week or two ago about an episode. I totally missed this during the episode. You watched an episode of Strange New Worlds on your phone.
Yes, right?
That was the way you saw the episode was through your phone. Is that correct? Yeah, I didn't catch that last time. And then when I don't often listen back to our episodes, but sometimes I'll like skim through them. And I usually try to wait a little while because I don't like to listen to them right after they happen. I like to forget stuff about it before I listen. But then I caught that part. You said you watched on your phone. And if I had heard that at the time, I wouldn't have given you shit or anything. But I would have been
He would have made a big deal.
I would have been.
I was actually surprised.
Like, what?
No joke. At the time, I was surprised. Dan didn't make a big thing about it.
So you remember it at the time.
I heard it at the time. I didn't hear it. And I was like, oh my God, we're not, because it was also like, we had to end the podcast, you know, it was like one of those deals. I was like, all right, we're going to.
This is most unusual.
Yeah.
Well, do you hear her whistle?
This is most unusual.
Yeah.
She's like a beaver.
Have you ever heard me do that before?
Sometimes we've commented on it.
Yeah. I've done it.
It's unusually lovely.
Some other regular features include Dan often has lists. Often has lists of things.
A Chopin list.
That's something to look out for.
That was a music joke for all you musicians. A Chopin list.
But it wasn't a very good joke.
There's the duty or no duty.
Yes.
Oh, that's a very good one.
That's an excellent one.
That's a very key segment.
Yeah. I think we're going to have a good one next week in the next episode. But duty or no duty is where somebody says the word duty. But the way they pronounce it might sound like duty.
Duty.
Right.
And so Dan will pull those clips and quiz Jesse and I on what we think and then argue with us about what we think.
It's either duty or not duty.
You can return to duty, Lieutenant. Dereliction of duty.
And we've had...
I know you're off duty, but we've got visitors.
Your duty
was to respect the captain's orders.
There's people that from other parts of the world that they don't know what duty means.
Oh, yeah.
And it took them a little while to figure out like what we were talking about.
It is a peculiar thing.
Back on duty.
Travel guide duty.
Occasionally, I haven't done this in a while, but occasionally we'll have one of Patrick's second break fun-em-ups. Those are often for episodes that we're concerned we won't have enough to talk about because they're boring.
Yeah.
Boring episodes.
Perhaps racist.
Yes.
I mean, son of a bitch.
Racist, we can talk a lot about that. That's in orders. There's another common thing because Dan has a bit of a bugaboo when it comes to characters saying, that's an order.
Yeah.
And so he will play, if they say that's an order, he will play the clip and then declare whether or not it's an appropriate or cliched use.
It's like if somebody's like hanging from like the edge of a starship over Pluto and they're like, oh, I'm falling. And the guy's like, Captain, I'm going to save you. And they're like, no, leave me to die. Right. And the guy's like, Captain, I'm not going to leave you to die. And they go, that's an order, Lieutenant. Right. And they're like, no, Captain.
You can't die. That's an order.
That's what flips it on the other side is where instead of like being like, you got to leave me to die, that's an order. Sometimes they'll be like, you can't die, that's an order. Right. That kind of thing, you know? Yeah.
Which is an odd thing to order. Putting a lot of pressure on somebody who's severely injured.
I know. It's like, I'm already like dying. Like now you're ordering me not to die. Like that's stressful. Like you're making me feel like I'm insubordinate.
I'm throwing up into space.
I'm insubordinate by dying.
Yeah. Bits and bobs or odds and ends or whatever we call it. And that's
fart joke.
Usually towards the end of the episode when we're just trying to get some of the
things. I call them nooks and crannies.
Yeah, of course, that doesn't make a lick of sense.
What do you mean? It makes total sense.
No, it doesn't. Bits and bobs make sense.
They're
odds
and ends.
And
ends.
Nooks and crannies.
They're bitsy bobs.
No, nooks and crannies are places, not things.
No, nooks and crannies are like, it's like, oh, here's a little nook we're going to have, and here's a little cranny. It's like
you can't just say words and wiggle your fingers, which, by the way, nobody can see this because we don't have YouTube. So Dan's
son of a bitch.
He keeps wiggling his fingers and saying nooks and crannies.
His wiggly cranny fingers.
Don't you remember the Thomas's English Muffins and they talk about how they had nooks and crannies?
Yeah, they have nooks and crannies.
Yeah, because
they're
nooks and crannies because they're like little pieces of the episode that like are hidden away outside of the theme of the episode.
Nooks and crannies are defined by an absence of something, not by a presence.
Yes, their absence
is hollowed out bread, baby.
Their absence is connective tissue with the rest of the conversation. Mm. That's the absence, is that they sort of live in a cave and you have to go into a cave to find the subject. it's like, oh, here's a little fun fact from the episode that has absolutely nothing to do with anything we've talked about. I would consider that a nook or a cranny because it's in a cave. It's outside of the normal conversation. It's a nook or a cranny. I used to think nooks and crannies were like food.
Yeah, I know. You've explained
it. It was like
this.
The sauce they were pouring over.
Yeah.
And
look, you son of a bitch.
Of course, the most regular feature of our regular features.
You're a bad bitch.
Are the inclusion of Dan's sound clips.
Uh-huh.
Dan curates these sound clips, and he takes it very seriously.
Son of a bitch.
I can tell you, he really does take it extremely seriously.
He's a son of a bitch.
That son of a bitch.
Great deal of effort for him to do all this work.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Dan, you want to provide some background? I know previously on the podcast, you've explained to us that you have a color coding system for organizing sounds. You have a naming convention.
Oh, or when it gets all musical and you can make loops.
Yeah, you keep an eye out for things that could be certain beats or
beats.
Loops.
That's what they're called.
I forget that the color coding also has to do something with whether something's negative. There's like a scale of negative to positive.
Oh man, I mean, there's a whole fucking thing. I mean, I don't know how much time we
have
left.
Well, just talk about your process as much as you like it. Whatever you think may be interesting to the audience.
So my sort of routine is I watch the episode start to finish with no interruptions, and then like I'll watch it again, this time taking notes. And the notes I take are just normal notes, like noticing things about the episode, but I'm also keeping my ear open for any like neat sounds. Like those sounds could be something something conversational, like you know,
I don't know.
You know, I don't know. There's something that fits into a conversation, right? Like you
sabotage.
So if somebody says like, "Hey Dan, like, you're a stupid jerk," I could say like,
"Indeed."
You know, like, or you could say, "Hey Dan, I like to poop on my own face," and then I'd play like.
I agree.
You know, something like that, right?
Totally.
And
yeah.
It'd be like, Dan, you're the coolest guy I've ever met.
Certainly.
Stuff like that, you know, things like that. So they fit in the conversation.
You are pretty cool.
Totally. Yeah,
I know.
You're pretty cool. You're like high up on that list of coolest guys I've ever met.
Yeah.
He's at the top.
Yeah. It's like
top of the list.
Dan, that's such a great idea you have for taking notes, you know? And I
all right,
and
right.
then Patrick,
I'm not joking,
Patrick would say,
"It's a lie."
And then I'd say, "No, Patrick, it's
elegant solution."
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Indeed.
Okay, so right, conversational. I'll take sound effects like like that's a laugh counts as a sound effect.
All right,
you know,
what are some other sound effects?
Yeah, like.
Was that one that was like Spock?
Yeah, that was Spock freaking out in Strange New Worlds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spocko!
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 That's a recency bias, of course.
Yeah. I don't even... Where is that one? Now I have to play it.
Yeah, now you do have to play it. It's sort of
like... Spocko!
Yeah, it's Chekhov's Spocko.
Spocko!
Do you have a favorite sound? I mean, we know you have... You have regular go-to sounds. You like. Of course, I'm not jokingly. Even predates you regularly doing sound clips.
Mm-hmm.
Then, "We're Dangerous" is a common one.
Yeah.
Where Would
Chief
I Stay?
O'Brien.
Chief
O'Brien.
Holograms.
Balana's on it.
Balana's on it. Those are some favorite.
Thanks, Agamus.
Hi,
Chief O'Brien.
Then I also have beats where when somebody says something in a very rhythmic or melodic way, you can make a beak at beak.
A beekeeper.
Does this human speak the truth? Does this human speak the truth? Does this human speak the truth? Does this human
that
speak the
that
truth?
That one's not so great.
Evasive maneuvers, Ortegas, you're up. Evasive maneuvers, Ortegas, you're up. Evasive maneuvers, Ortegas, you're up. Evasive maneuvers, Ortegas, you're up.
Can you sort by date? Do you have any of your older beats?
Yes, I can find. I just knew that those ones worked. Some of them, it's hard. Some of them I put beats and they don't actually work out as well as I think they would. Like,
she would even murder me. She would even murder me. She would even murder me. Well, she would even murder me.
That was it.
As far as I could tell. As far as I could tell. Yeah. As far as I could tell. As far as I could tell.
Yeah,
see,
good.
Those are beats.
Kirk,
you know?
Is good for that shit.
Yeah, he is. And then there's just general sort of like quotes that like, you know, like that are cool. I don't know.
There are witches.
You know, something
there
like
there are.
You know, just doesn't really fit into anything. It's just a thing. Then I have a whole section for just nouns, like
Spock, bones.
You know? Or
Mr. Atos,
like nouns and names and things like that. Yeah. Like here's an
both nouns and proper nouns.
Yes, there you go. Perfect. Like
nouns and names.
The starship Tiplana.
You know,
parking.
We're stellar cartographers.
You know, things like that.
Stellar cartographers. That shit.
Spatial turbulence.
I love that. I still the problem is I thought of the same joke as when we discussed that episode when he was like, "We're stellar cartographers." It's like, do they mean they're just like really good cartographers?
A freighter captain.
Made up shit.
So and then I have two other sections for miscellaneous where like which is where it's just if there's any other sort of thematic things like sometimes there'll be a word that they pronounce like different characters will pronounce the same word different ways often pull all the different ways they
often
pronounce
wrong
it,
soon
and I'll put them in their own sort of category of just like oh so there's some and, but that doesn't happen every episode so that's why I have these two colors that are just made for like just open-ended connections. Or like if there's a character, a particular character that everything they say is like really funny or something, I might give them their own section that episode or something like that.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, right. And so I just go through all these and I mark those down and man, I've got like a lot of sounds.
Can you just click the button and play all the sounds simultaneously?
Like, oh my God. I could probably set something up like that.
Yeah, you should do that.
The whole world would blow up.
That's some
up.
Patreon
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, exactly. We'll put that on the Patreon. Just like a cacophony. A cacophony.
Cacophony.
Cacophony of sound.
I wouldn't be surprised if I had close to 10,000 sounds.
Jesus.
Honestly.
I was actually curious. I figured you didn't have like a specific number, but you got to have a lot. Well, you pull a lot every episode.
Dan's 10K.
So for the conversational ones, according to my iPad, I have 5,099 conversational ones. And this is just from this iPad. Like, I didn't start using the iPad until later.
Yeah.
Like, so there's episodes before that are not even on this.
You're a madman.
537 beats on this iPad.
Word.
223 music licks. I don't know. 884 sound effects.
I never was all that cool with that term, licks.
Yeah.
I don't like licks.
It's kind of like I don't like saying like the podcast episode dropped.
Yeah, exactly.
But sometimes, you know, that's what people expect. They want you to say it dropped.
Dripped.
So,
drop.
Yeah, according to that,
put it on the RSS feed.
I think I have at least 10,000 sounds on this iPad alone. And it's on my iPad.
That sounded like a beat right there. 10,000 songs on this iPad alone.
10,000 songs on this iPad alone. 10,000 songs on this iPad alone.
And one day,
hammock time.
Yo, you'll play them all at once.
Hammock time.
Yo.
Yeah, I know. Yo. That is a favorite.
Yo.
Yeah, that's when that's Explorers. Deep Space Nine's Explorers.
So yeah, there's a lot of freaking sounds that I have. I was thinking one day I should collect them all and see if I could like put them online somehow.
Well, I can't remember. Was it Patreon or didn't we play a game once where you played sound clips and we guessed the sound clips? Maybe that was on the main feed. Probably a bonus episode.
Because
this is episode 300, but that's not counting bonus episodes.
For the first 100 episodes, did was there an opening theme or was there, like did I
yeah
ha- did well, I have did, had I written the first theme?
No,
that was for 100 to 200.
That was where I played a clip from. An outtake, you know, like our opening theme starts with an outtake, or like it's a producer naming the take on the audio tape, and then the orchestra starts playing the music. We still use that producer talking. Previously we used more like the Star Trek music that they were playing, and over time we have adjusted that a little
right
bit.
So but the song part didn't happen
Do that again.
And all my special like games like Duty or No Duty or things, that's a separate color.
That's right.
That's brown.
Those clips.
Or if there's some kind of long speech or something like that, I'll often make that brown because brown is brown.
If it's brown, organize it
down
separately.
Organize it down. Do put it at the bottom.
That's right. All right. Well, that's cool.
What about Dan's voices?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, next up is regular characters and voices. Not just Dan. Everybody's got some goofy voices.
Yeah, yeah.
Some regular characters that
sometimes
show up.
Sometimes I talk like Dan.
Yeah. There's the
Dan sounds like this.
There's the worm voice guy.
What was the worm voice?
Which, by the way, Dan, I'm not alone. I've heard from other people that they're disturbed by. So we've been doing this.
The worm voice.
We've been doing that for years. But recently, Dan introduced this new lore to the worm voice, which was talking about like worms coming out of your face.
I'm in the worm voice.
This is upset people.
Worms that come out of your face. Yeah,
not just me. Other people have been upset by this.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
The worms coming out of your face.
The original worm voice was pretty.
Yeah, it was all sweet.
Pretty cute. And it was on, wasn't it on like that bonus episode that hadn't been released? It was like the mirror one.
I think it was the source
of the worms intellect comes out of the worms.
Comes out
of the worms that come out of your face.
We've also got regular.
That's what I'm talking
regular
about.
Visits by Alf.
Hey, Willie!
Got any cat?
Got any
See,
cat?
That's really good. Yeah.
Hey, Willie!
Yeah.
Hey, Willie!
That's a fun one.
That's all I can do, and it's not even that good.
Dan's Notepad +++ guy.
I'm gonna write it all on Notepad +++.
Yes.
I'm gonna put it on my. I'm gonna put it on my Linux box.
That's mostly for me.
I'm gonna use Vim and put it on my Linux box instead of using Notepad +++. I've upgraded from Notepad +++ to
Vim.
Use Vim
because you've got Vim and Vigor, Dan. That's how we describe you.
Number one.
Yes.
Number one day.
Absolutely.
He's my number one.
Oh, jeez.
Dan failed
crack.
On that.
My voice started cracking.
Because you're a teen boy. This is really an audience favorite, Dan's.
He's my number one dad.
This is the audience favorite.
Playing young Picard.
Hey, Jesse, you're my number one dad.
I always wanted you to say that.
He's my number one dad.
Yeah.
And,
I'll occasionally bust out you got the 1960s producers.
The producers,
the kids, they like the Star Trek, they like the sci-fi, they like the boobs.
Well, the wine voice comes out of the face of the producers.
Well, as long as the lady doesn't show her belly button, you can show whatever you want. Just dress her whatever you want. Just don't show the belly button. Mm. The belly button's the most sexy thing. Mm. Yeah.
This one about, like, new ones to workshop?
Oh, yeah. Are there any new voices?
Jasper
are there new,
Fluffenbutt?
Yeah, new characters?
Well, there was the other, like, hey, Jesse.
Oh, the hey, Jesse character.
Hey, Jesse,
yeah.
What are you doing?
Oh, we haven't touched on that one, have you?
Hey, Dan. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, what?
What are you doing?
This is one that perplexes me, but seems to amuse the audience.
People really like this one.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, what?
What are you doing? Why are you doing that?
Hey, Dan.
I figure there'll be some.
Hey, Jesse, what are you doing?
There'll be some new voices coming down the pipe.
What are you talking about?
But moving along. Oh, man. This is a good.
Oh, man, are you serious?
Transition.
Oh, man, are you serious?
It's a good transition.
Hey, Jesse, are you serious?
Hey, Dan.
Into the topic
serious?
Of miscellanea, because there are a few miscellaneous things to talk about.
Are you serious?
One of them is just what is Chakotea.net? Because we bring it up a lot, Dan specifically, and a few people have asked.
What is
like,
a macro penis?
Like, you're always referring to a. No, don't bring that up.
The what?
He brought up macro penis.
Oh, macro penis.
Versus micro penis. Oh, that's a whole thing. Don't worry about it.
That's a thing that was proven, finally proven in a recent episode.
I'm sure it was.
It was from a .gov site. It was a .gov site.
.gov.
And it was the fucking National Institute
of Health.
I don't
think .gov has any standing anymore.
It was the National Institute of Health. Right. You're going to use that as an excuse not to believe it now. Come on.
Chakotea.net.
NIH.
Dan,
look it up. Macro penis.
Dan, what is Chakotea.net?
Oh, man, are you serious?
What is it to you?
Is it something that you made up? Is it a real site?
Are you serious?
Chakotea is a real site. It's got a bunch of great scripts for many things, among those being Star Trek scripts. Now, they don't have any of, like, the Discovery on, but they have everything up through Enterprise, basically. And they just have all the
resource.
And it's a good resource. It's like, they're pretty reliable scripts for the most part, you know? It's not just like a transcript. It's like actually got the names next to each one. There's been effort put into it. Every once in a while, there's like editor's notes. Like, there was one, like, about, I think it was
editorial sometimes.
Yeah, there was one. What was
this was a stupid sound they made.
Well, what was the one? What's the one called?
Like Neelix made something gross.
What was the one called where Wesley was on the ship and he got in trouble? What was that called? You know, with
more specific.
With Tom Paris.
Wesley, First Blood.
What? You know when they did the star formation?
The Culverd Starburst.
Yeah. Anyways, there was something like there was some kind of
the
edit.
First duty.
There
first
was something.
First duty.
What? That's what it was called.
I know. I'm just.
That was a somewhat recent episode.
I'm trying to explain what I'm talking about. All right.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Now I have. Now I'm like, here. Why don't vamp for a second?
All right, I'll
That's
vamp.
How they talk
I'll
in
vamp
Arizona.
By mentioning a different miscellaneous item, which is we occasionally do an episode of what we call "It's Not Star Trek." We've done "It's Got Pickles,"
ooh,
and "It's Got Alf." So we've got two episodes of that so far.
That Pickles one was serious.
Oh, yeah. Both of those are great, but the Pickles one, definitely go back. I think that was like in 2020 or something. It was a long time ago. But go check out, do a search on our website, www.itsgotstartrek.com. You can search, or you can actually click on, I think we have a category listing for It's Not Star Trek, or just type in Pickles and you'll see it. Great episode. Those are just fun non-Star Trek discussions.
Being ourselves.
Yeah, we think you'd enjoy the Pickles one is great because we eat a bunch of pickles. We get sick eating pickles. Now, granted, ASMR warning, there's a lot of pickle eating sounds. So if that grosses you out, don't listen to that. But otherwise,
pickled ogre.
You should listen and enjoy. Did you find what you were looking for, Dan?
No.
Okay, I'll keep vamping.
I don't think I'm going to find it.
Next thing to talk about are our Patreon segments. We'll be brief here. We do offer a Patreon. It's very cheap. Per month. It's just a way of supporting us if you'd like to do that, if you got a little extra cash hanging around. But we do try to put a lot of content up there that you would enjoy. Some of it is Star Trek related. A lot of it is just some silly nonsense. We do a lot of, we put up a lot of pre-episode banter because we turn on the recorder early and there's often some fun conversation.
We are often being silly.
We do some special episodes.
Very special.
I think some key things to check out, and you can go to patreon.com/itsgotstartrek Trek, and you check out free previews. There's some free content up there. There's free previews of all the episodes. But freestyle rapping with Danny Glowbeats. That's
Glowbeats.
A good one.
What?
Congo Bongo versus Bongo Congo.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. Movie. That's one of my favorite conversations. AI Music Madness. That's my personal favorite, just because there's some crazy stuff happened while we made some live AI music prompting, and with
from
pretty hilarious results. Jesse's questions. We've done a few episodes.
Jesse's questions.
Jesse's questions. Jesse asked the guy some questions.
Jesse's questions.
Jesse stumps Dan and Patrick.
You're gonna learn tonight.
There was one, I don't remember what it was about, but the title is Ernest Goes to SETI Alpha 5. I can't remember that conversation, but the title's great. So
it sounds vaguely familiar.
Something worth checking out. So yeah, that's what you can go see on our Patreon. Otherwise, that's about it for the It's Got Star Trek technical manual.
Tell your friends.
Episode 300. Yes, please tell friends. If you know, that's one way for us to get support. Let people know about the podcast. If you want to suggest an episode to them, I'm sure you can think of some examples. My personal favorite example is episode 170, where we discuss Deep Space Nine's Shadow Play.
That is actually very influential for us, because that marked the first episode where we did sounds.
Yeah, well, so like Dan had been, we'd been playing around with sound clips, you know, here and there.
But not actually like pulling
from.
Yeah, but that episode, Dan really started like doing the process that he described earlier. And it's a great episode of Deep Space Nine. It's a great episode of the podcast. Us exploring, playing around with the sounds is really fun, and sort of discovering how much fun we could have with it. And it became a permanent feature. It's fun for historical reasons, but I also think it's a good introduction to the show. But yeah, otherwise, send people to our social media at It's Got Star Trek, or at the website, itsgotstartrek.com. People can click around and enjoy some stuff. On YouTube, we are on YouTube, even though you don't see our face. Right, we put up a static image. What we do have is we have a playlist of, we used to do previews, like sort of highlight clips. Unfortunately, our schedules got tricky, we couldn't do those anymore, but that's another opportunity. There's a whole playlist of minute-long highlight clips, another great introduction to the show. Well, even though it's older, that's still really fun content.
I can't fucking find it right now, but there was some editorial to the effect of something like, we thought some character, like some character
on jackyotea.net.
yeah, it was something the effect of like some character went missing or something, and the editorial was like, unfortunately that character was not Wesley Crusher, you know, something like it was shitting on Wesley Crusher for like no reason. That's fucked up. I like Wesley, but like
that's a tricky bit.
But Jack O'Teo's mostly pretty good, but every once in a while there's these really like biting sort of editorials inside.
That's
there.
The internet for you.
Yeah,
CrusherHateYou.com.
But it's a good resource. Most of the shit's pretty good, and it is kind of funny to read those sometimes. It's very few and far between, but every once in a while it jumps out and you're just like, why did you put that in there?
Well, what else to say about It's Got Star Trek? It's a great show.
If you write a review, you get a haiku.
Oh yeah, that's right. I always forget to mention that.
Or an FU.
Yeah, Dan will write you a haiku if you write a review. All right. Well, that's been 300 episodes.
And if you're not sure, go to nationalinstituteofhealth.gov and in there they will show that macropenis is indeed an approved medical term that refers to something called a macropenis that exists.
I disagree.
What? How do you disagree with the fucking National Institute of Health?
Come on.
Now he's got nothing left, so he's just trying to push buttons.
You deny truth.
Just so you can try to push buttons. It's not going to work.
All right.
It's not going to work.
Are you ready with your little sound clip?
Because if you disagree with me, you disagree with America.
You got your little sound clip to end the show?
He doesn't want to admit. He can't admit when he's wrong.
Do you have a sound clip to end the show?
Our patron has been insulted by his enemy to the north.
Indeed. All right. Okay.
That was just called weird delivery.
I'm going to presume you're ready, because I'm going to conclude things now. So anyway, the main message here is thank you so much. We appreciate you listening for whatever portion of the last 300 plus episodes you've been listening to. Hope you keep listening. We plan to do at least, I don't know, what, 3 or 4 more episodes? And so enjoy those. Stay tuned where we continue our coverage.
About Gahama.
We'll get there eventually.
Take two.
We continue continue our coverage of Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 3. It's next up on the feed after this episode. So we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Well, I'm truly sorry that you're leaving. Goodbye.